Like when I got started, you know?
Yeah, baby!
Hello, hockey fans, and welcome to another edition of White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650. Welcome to the big program. Thank you so much for joining us again. Brooke Ward with you. Bill Wilms coming up later in the program. Nathan Canter as well. Also going to hear Galen Patterson, his post-game thoughts from the Giants 5-3 win in Moose Jaw. That's my favorite jaw, Moose Jaw. If you got to have a favorite jaw, it ought to be Moose. Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Who named that town, by the way? Someone along the way. Moose Jaw. There you go. It's a keeper. There you go. That's a winner. Anyway, Giants 5-3 over the Warriors. That hockey game played on Saturday night. That followed a Friday night 7-5 loss in Swift Current. Swift Current's a cool name, though. I like that. What's the name of your place? Swift Current. Okay, I'm in. Anyway, we come to you from Vancouver. Another cool name. Giants dropping a 7-5 decision on Friday night in Swift Current. They led 3-0 90 seconds into the game. 3-0 Giants 90 seconds into the game. You think, hey, we're home and cooled. Unfortunately, there were 59 more minutes to play. Swift Current came back, took a lead, and buried an empty netter to win it 7-5. Giants next night in Moose Jaw, the 5-3 victory. So good to come back after that. Is it heartbreaking, by the way, when you're up 3-0 90 seconds in, and then you give the lead back over 59 minutes? The final goal was scored with about 4 minutes, or check that, the game-winning goal broke a 5-all tie with about 4 minutes to go. That could be heartbreaking. But you lead 3-0 early, and you blow the lead. I don't know if you consider that heartbreaking or not. To me, it's being up 3-0 late and blowing the lead. That's the heartbreaker. This one was the stunner. A 3-0 lead 90 seconds in, never happens. But then the Giants were not able to hold on to that lead. But they did come back the very next night against Moose Jaw, my favorite name in the dub. 5-3, couple of power play goals for Vancouver. Haliburton scored twice in that game. He had 3 goals over the weekend. Oreskovich had his second goal back-to-back nights. And Blake Chorney, the rookie, his first Western Hockey League goal, his first of many, I'm sure, proved to be the game winner in the 5-3 victory of Moose Jaw. Tomique added an empty netter. Hood got the win. The Giants 1-1 on the weekend. If I want to look at the top point getters then over the two games, Haliburton's 3 goals lead the way. Oreskovich had 2. Tomique, the empty netter, plus he had 1 the previous game as well. Sparks, a couple of assists. Lynn, a couple of assists. Obo Bifo, a couple of assists. And Lynn, at this point, on the Tomique empty netter to win it 5-3 on Saturday, it started with a block shot by Lynn. And then the puck got to another Vancouver player who headmanded it to Tomique, and he scored. Lynn was not credited with an assist on that goal. I think he should be, maybe will be. But at this point, he's sitting on 2 assists for the weekend. Obo Bifo, 2 assists as well. Cameron Schmidt had 2 goals and a helper. Actually, checked that 1 goal and a helper for Cameron Schmidt, his second of the year, plus an assist, and Hood 1-1 on the weekend. Meanwhile, let's jump right into the 5-3 win. I can catch my breath. The 5-3 victory over Moose Jaw. Here's all the Giant goals, flavor for what happened. Here's the play-by-play man. His name is Nathan Canter.
Giants are set up. Schmidt, right side half wall. Back to Lynn. Lynn to Schmidt. Right point. Down for Haliburton. And a low shot. Haliburton scores! Caught Hutchison by surprise. And he's got 5 goals in 5 games. The Giants' 20-year-old forward ties things up 1-1. Again from the blue line, right side for Schmidt between his legs as he switches to the left side. He'll fire. That stop. There's a rebound. Haliburton scores! Another one! 6 goals on the year for Victoria's Ty Haliburton. It's tied 2-2. Talk about a nifty play from Schmidt. 1 Ian in his own zone. Giants up ahead. A bouncing puck. Obo Bifo onto it. Trying to drive towards the net. He does. It's loose and they score. Jacob Oreskovich. After a great net drive from Obo Bifo, the puck was there. And Oreskovich had a wide open net. Giants lead for the first time in this game. 3-2. Right back in comes Lakovic, trying to cut to the middle. Lynn breaks it up. A breakaway pass. Looking for Blake Chorney. Trying to cut to the net. Shoots and scores! Blake Journey, his first career Western Hockey League goal. Get that puck. He's given the Giants a 4-2 lead late in the second period. McKenzie, right side half wall, down low, in front, blocked by Lynn. Oh, what a play as that will come out to center. Tomic has the empty net, and Schmidt with him, and Tomic will score! Giants with a two-goal lead into the empty net. It's 5-3 with 11 seconds to go in this game. And Giants win the faceoff. Regal backing up with it. He'll lift it into the air, down, bouncing into the Moose Jaw zone. The Vancouver Giants defeat the Moose Jaw Warriors by a final score of 5-3. And they improved to 2-3 on the season, 1-1 on this road trip. Blake Journey, his first career goal, ends up as the game winner here in his home province of Saskatchewan.
5-3 Vancouver Giants, as Nathan mentioned there, moving their record to 2-3. And they have been giving up a lot of goals this year, but they've been scoring a lot, too. So 2-1 games, nothing wrong with it. But, you know, 6-5, goaltenders won't like it. Defensive coaches won't like it. Defensemen probably don't like it. The forwards, I don't care how many I give up as long as we score more than you do, and I get one of them. But it's entertaining for the fans, man. So if you're going to win some 5-4 hockey games in a lot of them, I'd like to see a lot of goals. Of course, I'd like to see more Giant goals than the opponent at the time. That said, post-game, Galen Patterson, assistant coach of the Vancouver Giants, on with Nathan, live from Moose Jaw, my favorite jaw, live from Moose Jaw. Very proud of the way the team stepped up after having that early 3-0 lead the night before and then coming back and losing the hockey game on Friday night, but winning on Saturday. Off to Swift Current, and then in the Moose Jaw, you take the win in the Moose.
Very proud of the group. You know, they battled through a lot last game, and obviously, we felt like we deserved better there with the Swift Current game. So, you know, like we talked about it on the air after the game, and staying mentally strong, mentally tough, and the guys did. And you know, we came off to a good start in the game, and just stuck to it. Had a great second period, which is usually has been our downfall to start the year. So it was awesome to see. And a lot of guys stepped up and played like men.
I know you're. You know, you focus on the D, but I got to ask about the power play, because to go 2-for-2. In that first period, obviously, is big to stay with it when they score two in that first. So it's the same unit, but I feel like I think Wasey was talking about, you know, having two good, strong units and how helpful that is. I know Haliburton gets both goals, but moving forward, if you want to have a good power play, don't you need two strong units?
For sure, and you know, Wasey does a great job, like two different looks, right? And, you know, we have some very high-end talent, and so it's awesome to see those guys get rewarded and do the right, you know, running the right routes and sticking to the plan on the PP as well.
Second period, as you said, you guys scored two. They don't score. What was it in that second period that you guys were doing well?
Sticking to the game plan, you know, knowing the situation, being aware of what's going on the ice. Like, I think everyone tonight was a student on the bench, and sometimes, you know, you can get distracted. Junior hockey players can get distracted. But, you know, they kept their focus in the game, and everyone was ready to go, you know, right when they got on the ice.
What can you say about Blake Journey? Gets the game-winning goal, is first in the league, but I feel like he's you talk about student of the game, I feel like he's someone who gets the details for someone who's so young.
Yeah, extremely well. I mean, he is a smart hockey player, and he's got good size, he's heavy, he's, you know, he's got all the skills, and adjustment for sure for any 16-year-old in this league, 100%, but he's doing a great job, and it was awesome to see him pot one tonight.
Now, you guys, they get one back, right? It's 4-3, and then they have a 6-on-4. What are the – they had kind of – it was almost like two timeouts. Anyways, there was the timeout. Both teams are going over, you know, their respective stuff. What is it that is being talked about from your guys' perspective when, you know, it's a 6-on-4 that then's going to turn into a 6-on-5? What are you telling the guys?
Well, just some of the adjustments that we have to make when that happens, you know, when the goalie's pulled and – the situations that you're in, and then at the end of the day, like it's stepping up and playing like a pro and playing like a man. And you know, I have to shout out to Howell, Merrick Howell. It was just, you know, like led the way with that and ate some tough shots, and you know, that really got us by, obviously, and it, like, that's a big step up for him, and it's awesome for the group, and guys were so excited on the bench. It was great to see.
Yeah, perfect. Anything else I'm missing? Any other parting thoughts about, you know, a big win? First road win of the year.
Yeah, awesome. First road win of the year. And I guess for Chorney and me, our first win in Saskatchewan.
Yes.
So that's a good one.
Yes, I like that he scored in his home province. And first road win for you also, of course, your home province as well. So congrats and obviously many more wins to come. Thank you so much.
Right on, thanks.
And right on, thanks to you too, Galen Patterson. Yeah, a couple Saskatchewan guys getting in there, getting the victories. You're not littered with prairie boys, shall we say, on the West Coast teams. But you sneak a few in there. My family's from Saskatchewan, Moose Jaw and Regina. And so I've always had a soft spot for people from Saskatchewan. Good folks! Right on, you bet. Anyway, Nathan Kander with Galen Patterson, assistant coach of the Vancouver Giants, and more from Nathan later on. Coming up next, though, the man, the myth, and the legend. The man who never ages. Never looks older ever. Of course, when you look old when you're 20, that's one of the beauties. You just never look any older. Bill Wilms is coming up next. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Mike Halford
and Jason Brough.
Join us for Halford and Brough in the Morning weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. on Sportsnet 650.
Or on demand anytime through your favorite podcast app.
I want to win that championship tonight, but I want to win it clean. Old-time hockey, like when I got started, you know?
Is Toe Blake, Dick Clapper, Eddie Shore, those guys were the greats.
Yeah, sure, old-time hockey.
Like Eddie Shore.
Yeah.
Coach, our line starts?
Sure.
Hey, we got a game to win.
Back on White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. A split over the weekend for your Vancouver Giants, as you're well aware. Brooke Ward with you here on the Mighty 650, the sports radio network of the Sportsnet variety. Bill Wilms is with us now, too. He's quite a variety himself. Hi, Bill. How you doing, buddy? You're a jack of all trades. You do a lot of stuff.
Master of none. No, I get it. Yeah. But, yeah, no, hanging in there, going, you know, going good. Obviously, you and I both love the last couple days before the clock changes and everything gets dark about 2 in the afternoon. So,
When's that happening?
I think sometime in October. I don't know when.
I'm looking at my calendar now. I don't see it. I hope I never see it, but... I see November too. I see November 2nd, but that's unofficial.
Okay.
That'd be better than it used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, those games coming, you know, to the game sometimes when it's a little dark ain't no fun. But anyway.
There's always something about swinging around into when you get into March or so, Bill, after a long winter, and then you're driving to the game at 5 o'clock, it's still light out, or it's nice. Oh, that's gold to me.
And you know what's the icing on the cake when you do come to the LEC during those rainy, dark nights? You walk out of there with a win. You're happy. The ride home is shorter, and everybody's excited. And this team, I think, is heading that direction.
What have you seen so far? And finally, on Saturday, at least, they cut down. They gave up 3, but they didn't give up 7, as they did on Friday in Swift. But keeping pucks out of their net has been a problem.
Yeah, it has. And it probably was, you know, maybe on display more than ever in that game in Swift Current, that 7-5 loss. I mean, if you want the outcome to be in doubt, and you got that, and if you want lots of goals that night, you got that. And I guess that's probably what most fans who don't have a dog in the fight hope for. And they got that. And to your point, 1.5 minutes in to that first period, Brooke, 3-0 Vancouver. And I said this to Nathan. I said, can you imagine coming into the arena? You're a fan. You're coming in. You're less than 2 minutes late. you've done some last-minute, farm work, as that, you know, a lot of those people are. You maybe were a little problem getting a parking spot. You come in, honestly, less than 2 minutes late. You look over the clock, and you see the score, Vancouver 3, Swift Current nothing. And as I said to him, you got to, if you're a fan in that situation, you must be thinking, did we miss the start time on this game?
Was there a field goal?
Yeah, I mean.
But you're right. I mean, you'd walk in thinking there was a typo on the scoreboard, 90 seconds in, 3-0
Well, I know I would be looking at my watch and I'd say, you know, I'm sure the game started at 7. Did it really start? Oh, yeah, it's Friday night. Maybe it started earlier.
So you might think you're in the second period or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I would.
Wow. That's crazy, anyway, though, to be up 3-0. And that's a great point you make, too. People just arriving 2 minutes late and going, what the? But you're up 3-0, 90 seconds of the first period. You kind of think this is going to be your night.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you look at a game that night, which you always have to as a coaching staff, and you and I, when we talk about recaps and that kind of stuff, I mean, there is a good positive there. The Giants opened the scoring again, the second time a game on the road. And, you know, we all know how important that is. You don't want to be trailing off the top. But you did open the scoring, you know, that's a must. And, you know, all the goals that were scored back and forth, Brooke, up until 16:21 of the third period, in other words, 3.5 minutes left, up until that point, the Giants had played from behind in that wild game a total of 16 seconds. And then period three, when the game was 5-5, there was a, you know, a turning point, clearly a turning point in that game. 5-5. Now you've given up, you know, that 3-0 lead, and you have three guys with free, I would say, from the blue line in, from the Swift Current blue line in, they have free ice. Oreskovic, Tittleback, and Sparks. And they can't score. Now, in a 5-5 game, if you could have got the lead one more time, who knows? But it didn't happen that way, you know, we know the result. And to your point, what you said earlier, you know, keeping pucks out of the net, out of their net was, and to a certain extent still is a problem. You know, after the Giants made it that 3-0 start, Swift Current outscored the Giants 7-2 after that point, including an empty netter, so 6-2. And here's a concern that I have too, and it'll have to be addressed, and you know, we'll go to the Moose Jaw game in a little bit where they did win. But the Broncos and Swift Current scored 4 second-period goals. And so far, the Giants, by my recollection, have given up 3 goals in a period 4 times. You know, that you just can't do that. And Vancouver penalty kill after the game Friday night, you could say they were still struggling. You know, Swift Current was 2-for-5 on the power play. You know, and that pushed the Vancouver Giant penalty kill, I think, to right the bottom of the heap, if you will, the Western Hockey League. And to that point, these are all things that are concerns, right? To that point, the Giants had not had a clean sheet period where they hadn't been scored on. And that was 12 periods of hockey.
Wow.
Now, the irony for me, the overall irony for me, was I was kind of expecting this particular group would be, you know, as I said to Nate, I almost felt they'd have to be coached in not being too fancy in creating offense. You know, giving up good scoring chances to make that extra pass. And, you know, the talent that the group has, you know, you still may get to that point. They're a confident group, I think, in the offensive zone, generally speaking. Instead, you know, it's a group that has a hard time defending. So that's a bit of an irony for me. I you know, it's never easy to defend in this league. I mean, I grant you that. But to have, you know, that many goals scored and, you know, on you and be at that spot with goals against in the league, you know, that at the near the bottom, that wasn't good. But Saturday night in Moose Jaw, you got a nice win, 5-3.
Big time. And I want to get onto those positives, too, from the Saturday night game. But it is amazing that their penalty kill has a success rate of 54.5%, Bill. So, like, wow, if you could kill penalties, and still you're 2-3. If you could kill penalties, is that the deficiency among other things? But I haven't added up how many goals they've given up on the power play, but they've given up a lot, I guess. But if you could kill penalties, you have a pretty good record, you would think.
Yeah, and they did that. They turned the corner, I hope, on the game, you know, Saturday night in Moose Jaw. They killed off, it was, you know, they had 4 power plays, the Warriors, and the Giants killed 3 of them. I mean, that's certainly a right step in the right direction. And you say it's 54% now?
Yeah, 54.5% success rate.
Yeah, well, see, it was 50 going into the Swift Current game. After the Swift Current game, it was 50%, okay, 23rd. So that was a good start. But you know what? That was the most complete 60-minute game so far, you know, Saturday in Moose Jaw. And to win in Moose Jaw, I think they needed a complete effort. There was no question. Less than that, I think, would not have got the job done. You know, after Moose Jaw got to a 2-1 lead in period one, the Giants, now this is on the road, okay? After that 2-1 Moose Jaw lead, they outscored the Warriors 4-1. And that's on the road. You know what? You've heard me say that a number of times when I take a look at what happens after a certain point in the game, whether you actually outscore the other team or they outscore you, because that's often my judge criteria for a complete game. And so if they outscore that team in their building, it's a rebuilding year. Obviously, they won the WHL title 2 years ago. And then last year they were last in the league, so they're on their way up. But you know they had a pretty good home record going into that game, so they outscore them 4-1 after, like I say, the Warriors had a 2-1 lead. And then to your point, we just talked about they killed three power plays that the Warriors had. I thought that was critical. And then I'm taking something from Manny Beaveros's vernacular, and I liked it. He talked about five in the frame. And when you watch a game, whether it's on video or you're watching it on Victory Plus or whatever, when you're watching a game and on that frame on your screen, when the puck's in your own zone, you see five players in the frame, five Vancouver Giants. You know they're connected. And that's important. And I thought that was very well put by Manny when he said that's what we look for. And in the offensive zone, too, if you can see, you know, guys connected, then you know you've got a better chance to move the puck and make a play. And the Giants had their first game where they never gave up a goal in a period. You know, and that was, you know, I thought that was very positive. And I think Parker Burgess and the coaching staff, I think they're still looking to make personnel decisions, Brooke. I mean, you know, who's 5-on-5 play, you know, who on the power play, who on the penalty kill. Guys are being thrown out there. There's no question about that, to see how they do. I mean, this is not preseason. This isn't scrimmaging in training camp. You know, it's all ramped up a lot. And I think they're still making some decisions. And through all that, I'm hoping they're getting the answers, you know, that they want.
29. Brooke, can I tell you, I was just going to say 29 goals against in the five games, 10 of them on the power play. Brooke did math, Bill, not my forte in school, but I did some math. So if they've given up 10 power play goals. So they've been shorthanded about 23 times or something like that, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
Ballparking. As I mentioned, the math issue, not my forte, but they've been scoring enough goals here that there's not a lot of heavy minuses on this team, despite giving up 29. And power plays, as people out there know, they don't count if you give up a power play goal as a minus. But, you know, Haliburta's a +2 on the hockey club. Oreskovich is even par. Tittleback's even par. There's not a lot of guys real deep in here, shall we say. So
yeah,
I know they're
yeah.
scoring some, but if they could shore up the power play. And again, you, not that you haven't finished on this topic, but Parker Burgess and the coaching staff still trying to figure things out, aren't they?
Yeah, and there was one power play unit on the ice in Moose Jaw that really tantalized my imagination. And I couldn't follow it clear enough to see if they were together again. I imagine they were, but listen to this five-man group. He had Cameron Schmidt out. He had Obo Bifo. He had Sparks, Haliburta, and Lynn. Now, Schmidt is a shooter-passer equally well. Obo Bifo shoots the puck. He's a power forward. He's extremely tough to contain in front of the net. Sparks, we've talked ad nauseum about his shot. He leads the team in shots on goal. Haliburta is third on the team in shots on goal. I didn't realize he was second last year on the Vancouver Giants shots on goal. And Lynn, he has 5 power play assists. Now, when you throw those guys out on the ice, he makes those incredible decisions in the offensive zone, does Lynn. You talk about a quarterback. He's the guy. Now, when you throw those guys out on the ice, can you imagine how many rebounds these guys could produce? I mean, you don't often score on your first shot in this league. You do on rebounds. And like I say, my mouth started watering a little bit. Would these guys ever move that puck and shoot? And if they don't score on the shot, I can't imagine how many rebounds the defense would have to, you know, the opposing defense would have to defend. Because once you do that, once you break down that structure with a first shot, you get a second one. Then often the unit that's defending has broken down their structure. If you take a shot, the goaltender makes a save, or you miss a net and it goes away out on the other side, that's a different story. You're playing right into the defense. Anyway, I don't know if that's a factor, if that will continue to be a factor, those guys, but it got me excited as I was watching this and thinking, hey, this got something there.
Well,
and I might have even told Nate it could be one of the better power plays in the league, those 5 guys.
Yeah, their power play's cooking right now. 37.5% success rate on the power play. So
yeah.
There's where much of their offense, I would say, is coming from. But they look like, isn't it funny how it works sometimes, though, Bill? You get a team that can fill the net, but they can't keep it out of their own net at the moment. So you're going to hang in there probably around 500. If I score a lot, but I give up a lot, it ain't dull. But by the way, I wanted to ask you about Haliburtta playing center. He said 3 goals on the trip. He's taken a lot of draws. And what do you think of how this kid's been playing?
Yeah, he's got 6 goals. He had 3 goals the last 2 games played. That's pretty good. That's with Kern at Moose Jaw. You know what, Brooke? I said this on one of our broadcasts with you. I don't know. Maybe it was Nate. In today's game, centers are important, yeah, because you gotta check inside your own zone. And that's your defensive responsibility more as much as anything. But once you get going, once you're out of your own zone, positions in hockey now, left wing, right wing, and center, they're interchangeable. I mean, it used to be, you know, you go up and down right wing, right wing, right wing. I forget who the coaches in the NHL were that said they want to staple guys to the boards. If you were a right winger, they didn't want you coming away from there. But now it's just fill lanes. So it really doesn't matter. Haliburtta, you know, he can check. We know that. He's good enough that he's got to skate that extra little bit of ice that a centerman has to skate from deep in his own zone to deep in the other team's zone. But the lanes are interchangeable. The most important thing is that you fill those lanes with a player. And then more importantly, if you've got the puck and you're entering the offensive zone, whether you're Haliburtta and his 2 wingers, one of the most important things is, as a player, you have to recognize what lanes have got players in it so that you can get them the puck. And, you know, you may pull up and pause for a minute in the offensive zone, look around. This is what Cameron Schmidt does well. He'll pull up in the offensive zone and just wait that second, see, hey, what lane has got a player in it? And that's where I'm going to put the puck. But, yeah, twice this year, I think, yeah, both 2 times Haliburtta's got a 2-goal game. I think that's great. I'll tell you real quick, I think Oreskovic has been fantastic, okay? Penalty kill, power play, face-offs, he's feeling it. And if I'm not mistaken, Brooke, he had 2 assists in a Vancouver Canuck uniform. And that's pretty impressive. I mean, sure, it was whatever it was, prospects, games, or whatever. But can you imagine, like, Colton Lane, too? He got a goal in a Calgary Flame uniform. I think Oreskovic is just filled with confidence, and the coach is really, really using him well. Blake Chorney, what else can you say about him? The 16-year-old, his goal last night with a guy draped all over him going to the net. Was a beauty. This defenseman, Lance McCloskey, I think he got a fair amount of ice time on the trip so far, and I like his work. He had a whole lot of goals last year in Southern California in the academy. I think that's the guy that they went to see, BX's boy, and they kind of locked onto Lance McCloskey in that process. The two guys that are still adjusting to the North American game are Tomic and Skok, the two Euros. The jury's still out on them. They're certainly not hurting the team, but I thought maybe it's going to take a little bit of time for Tomic to adjust offensively. He does have shots on goal. I don't mind that. And Skok defensively. But lots to work to take to the game Tuesday night in Saskatoon, I think, Brooke.
Here's a stat for you, since we're yakking about things, and the power play. Schmidt, Ryan Lynn, and Ty Haliburta each have 5 power play points, and only 3 other players, the rest of the team, have a power play point.
Really?
And that's Tittleback, Tomic, and Howell. They each have 1 power play point. The other guys are eating up the power play. Schmidt, Lynn, and Haliburta are in on virtually every power play goal together.
Okay, so and that's interesting and maybe somewhat not surprising, but those 3 guys you just mentioned, again, my feeling was when you add Oba Bifo and Sparks to those 3 guys,
yeah,
do you see some fireworks
on? Yeah, I see. I like that. I like Sparks too. Last year as well. And Obo, I'm waiting for him to break out after back-to-back shoulder injuries last year. So, and poor guy missed a full year of development too, basically. But I love, you know, put the power forward, as you said, when you got the shooter passer and Schmidt, you got the power forward and Obo, you got Sparks with the shot, you got Lynn, he's Lynn. He wears number 4 like Bobby Orr. And Haliburta can finish and has been and is pesky and he's always in the corner. He's had a couple of 2-goal games, as you say. I like that look. Yet their power play is still cooking at 34.5% prior to that look. But it's those 3 guys, Schmidt, Lynn, and Haliburta, who are in the middle of all these power play. It's kind of startling to see it. So,
Well, and Brooke, let's remember, too, we're not in any way trying to tell a coach what to do. It's just that, you know, when I look at it as an analyst and from a spectator point of view, it does look enticing to see where this power play can go, and Brooke, you know, we're this team. I tell you what, I don't think as a fan you should be more excited, can be more excited than what the next 4 games on this road trip are going to hold. To me, it's fantastic. Saskatoon and you know, and then Prince Albert and then Brandon Regina. This is a really key part of the season for me.
Mr. Wilms, thank you for joining. Enjoy the rest of the trip. We'll hear you and Nathan starting on Tuesday night, my friend, and we look forward to it. More success on the road, we hope.
Yeah, thanks so much, Brooke. Always enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, Bill. Bill Wilms, discountgolfcard.ca. Check that out. Nathan Canner, going to check him out. He is next, the play-by-play voice of the Vancouver Giants. This is White Spot Giants this week on the Vancouver Giants Variety on Sportsnet 650.
We've been goons. What a bunch of criminals. We ought to be in jail. That's all there is to it.
Nail up.
Nathan Canter is with us. He is the pride of the Vancouver Giants. Best. Triple best right there. Play-by-play broadcaster in the dub. Hello, Nathan.
Hello.
Rub-a-dub-dub.
How are you doing?
There should be something in there. Rub-a-dub-dub. There should be a...
You know, thanks for the grub.
I think there's something there. Rub-a-dub-dub. There's commercial rights for that. And I know I've caught you at the tail end of a team dinner as well. What'd you have for dinner tonight?
Oh, I had a very... So you can't do this often. You got to be careful. But on a long trip like we are on right now, every now and then, because the coaching staff, not that I am a coach, but being with them, you do get a bit more choice of what to order off the menu. So for the only time I had a little steak, just a small 6-ounce and mashed potatoes and vegetables, and it was delicious.
Man, are you a rare guy? You're well done. I bet you're well done.
No, medium rare.
Really?
Always.
Okay, me too. My wife is well done, and it's cardboard.
Oh.
And if I'm, it's like, well, I could give you beef jerky instead of a steak. Be a lot cheaper. And I like medium rare because I like it juicy. And so sometimes I'm trying to cook for both of us, and you know what I'm saying? It's like, I overcook my own stuff, and you know, but she's pretty.
Yeah.
Amen. Anyway, that's good. So you went out and got yourself, you had a steak, you had some stuff on the side, had a boy and a team, deserved that. What a good win you had on Saturday. Tell me about the Friday game and the Saturday game, if you will. And I had Bill on earlier, and we were talking about, you know, at least getting a split, although there's some deficiencies.
Yes, there are. But, I mean, I think the big important thing is Saturday's game was better than Friday's game, right? You saw that improvement. So yeah, a great start to Friday in Swift Current, scoring three goals really quickly, going out to a 3-0 lead. And, you know, obviously from there, things didn't go well. But I think the huge thing was Saturday was a really good game, I think, overall, right? It was tight. And nothing was easy. They had to earn it. You know, Moose Jaw goes up, you come back, they go up again 2-1, you tie it again, you have a strong power play to start, which was good. You have a really good second period, and then you hold on. You have your first lead that they've ever had this season going into the third, and you don't let it get away from you. You stick to the game plan, and you come away with a win. So, yes, 1-1 overall, but I think the bigger takeaway is the team improved. They got better. They learned from game one of the trip and had a better game two.
Did you go to Chuck E. Cheese for dinner? By the way, I'm hearing a lot of, you haven't. I know you guys are still dining, but it sounds young a little bit. It's busy, though, but a great atmosphere. But
well, you know who the youngsters are. Is the team finished already and just walked by?
Oh,
those were the young voices.
Really? Wow. Some were squeaky. Yeah. You got some squeaky voices in there. I don't know about that. I thought I heard kids. Anyway, I know Galen Patterson said after the game yesterday, so proud of the group, after the game on Saturday, I should say, very battle a lot, et cetera, et cetera. I would imagine you would agree.
Yes, no, for sure. Again, like, I think a big thing is a lot of that was they took some penalties at times and killed it off. And that involved a 6-on-4 situation late, then to a 6-on-5. So there was that adversity, and he specifically talking about Galen's post-game comments. Merrick Howell blocked two shots in the same sequence very late. One of them he caught up high, went down, stayed in the play, got up and blocked another one that went off him and out of play. And that's the type of stuff that, right, that good teams need to do, and that he's talking about, of sacrificing the body, doing it for the team. And that was just like kind of an example of what other guys did as well, is sacrificing the body, holding on to that lead in the third was not easy, given that they took multiple penalties. And then there was a partial 6-on-4. So, yes, they did very well. Lots to be proud of, for sure, for this. Again, man, it is still so early in the season.
Yeah.
There's only been 5 games. So, good sign.
I know. Well, you're 2-3 team that still had new coaching staffs, new players, new coaching staff, new systems, all this stuff too. A couple of guys who'd been away at the big league clubs too. That's tough coming home if you're Schmidt coming home from Dallas or from the Islanders. Your Hood, that adjustment's tough. So hopefully you're heading in the right direction. I like that comment, by the way. Patterson is quotable, that he says that Howell ate some tough shots. Also, he said a lot of guys stepped up and played like men. He's very quotable. You want to be quotable, Nathan.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's funny because he came up to me the previous night. I had, this is from a live post-game interview on right here on 650 and after the game. And so I take, parts of that and transcribe it, type it out as part of the recap. And he said, if you ever need to edit me, like, go ahead. And because, of course, he's new. And I said, well, you're good.
You're good.
Don't worry.
And it was live, and you're good.
Yeah, so. You're fine. All good. Very, very quotable. Good stuff. Yeah, no, for sure. And I think part of it is I like that message. You need to, when you're teaching kids and you're teaching teenagers, sometimes using, quotable terms and the same messaging over and over is important to get it ingrained in them. And I think Galen is just, that's another example of this coaching staff as a whole, right? You have to do that so that they get it and pick it up.
I'll speak for myself, but it was just strange. I was watching online on Victory, and there's Hood against Hutchison. Oh yeah, Matthew Hutchison, who went to, made his way along to Moose Jaw. I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah, no, it was really interesting. I looked at you saw the starting lineup, the headshot for Hutchison. And he's got the mustache. And if you remember, he could grow a full beard very, very easily when he was 17. And now, of course, he's 19 and needed a change of scenery. And yeah, good for Hood. Hood won the battle of the former teammates. I think it helped a little bit. Halliburton's first goal on the power play, he shot it from a pretty not a great angle from the bottom of the right circle. And you could tell Hutchison wasn't quite, I think, ready, wasn't anticipating it. And I think part of that was familiarity, was knowing the teammate, a former teammate. And he purposefully shot it from somewhere where you wouldn't really on a power play. And it tied the game. And I think that was just kind of interesting of going up against a former teammate, and the Giants obviously came out on top.
I hear you, man. And finally, I'll say a 3-goal against game, which is a season high, albeit he only played 5. But wow, the red lights. The light's been going on a lot. So to try and keep it to a normal, you know, a tidy little 5-3 victory on Saturday, I think that can't hurt these guys.
Well, yes. And I think let's say one thing. Burke Hood is going to be fine. Let's just put that out there. Like, early season, there certainly was and still a little bit concerned with the grade A chances odd man rushes given up, but Burke Hood will be fine. He's going to have a very bright professional future, and it might just take him a bit to settle in, but you know, they weren't going to continue to allow the 5 and 6 and 7 and whatever it was in a very small sample size. But I think the improvement, the big thing that, in addition to Hood is getting more settled in, was there weren't as many, and there were still some. Like, Moustra had some odd man rushes where they missed the net. They had a couple 3-on-1s where they just missed the backdoor pass. But in general, the Giants did a better job of not playing wide open hockey. Swift Current was, oh my goodness, was it back and forth and back and forth. And I think it's a lot of that is beginning of the season jitters and new players and new coaches and all that stuff. And you're seeing it across the league. I don't know if you saw the other night, there was like a 10-4 game at the same time as a 7-5 or something like that. Like, there 9-4 was Everett and Victoria. There was a 10-4 Penticton and Seattle. Like, that's part of junior hockey early in the season. So yeah, it's nice to see a 3 goals a game. And that will soon, I think, be the norm for this team.
It's funny, looking around the league, now that you mentioned it, there's a lot of teams that have scored a lot of goals. And then you get into, like, Kelowna's only played 3 games. Well, they've scored 10 goals. But the one that leaps at me is Tri-City, 1 win in their 4 games. They scored 7 goals in their 4 games. They've only given up 18. But it is interesting to look around. A lot of teams are scoring a lot of goals, and then you have a couple of Red Deers only scored 10 goals in 5 games, Nathan.
Yeah.
And Calgary has scored 12 in 4. That, you know, nothing to be embarrassed about there. But it is interesting. Some teams, just about every team, pucks are going in for, except for the common few.
Yeah. Well, what are the Giants up to now? 21, I think, if I'm not mistaken, goals for?
21-4, 29 against, yeah.
Yeah, so the 21 is obviously fine and good, and the 29 will...
I hear you.
Can, at least per game, yeah, that'll come down. But I think it's great that, like, the other night, the Giants, at least in Swift, it was 5 different goal scorers. Like, they're going to score goals this season, and I think it's one of the reasons why they're so fun to watch.
Yeah.
A reason to come watch the team.
I mean, I want wins if I'm a hockey fan, but I don't mind a 6-5 game. It's fine.
We saw that.
I know.
How fun was that against Victoria?
It was totally fun, Nathan. It was so fun.
Yeah.
I know. Cool. Groovy. Anyway, hey, man, I know you're running low on bars on your cell phone, and it's not getting any quieter. Who's that? Who's that? Someone?
Yeah, just waiting for some takeout. That's
okay.
All.
Okay. Good. Not anyone with a giant. Okay. Good. Anyway, thank you. Thank you for finding a nice, quiet place to do the interview. Love it. Always good, buddy. Anything else?
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you're at a restaurant. Anything else on your plate that I missed? Nice, huh?
Boom. Boom.
Yeah. Anything?
I think coming up this week will be really, it's some interesting connections being in Saskatoon. You have Galen Patterson and Wasey Rabbit, former Blades players themselves. Wasey, a former coach. Blake Chorney grew up not far from Saskatoon in Nipawin. He just had his first Western Hockey League goal. So lots of cool Saskatoon and Saskatchewan connections. And then, of course, at the end of the week, Burke Hood will get to play, I'm sure, in his hometown of Brandon. So it is really cool. I think the part of the trip, as it continues, you get all these Saskatchewan. Not that there's a lot of players from this province, but certainly on the coaching staff, there's some cool prairie connections, which is always fun.
My little tidbit for you then, because Bill and I chatted about this, is, and you're on this anyway, I'm sure, but when it comes to power play production, Schmidt, Lynn, Haliburta, each with 5 points in the power play. There's three other players with 1 point in the power play. These guys, power play specialists, are getting pucks to go in when they get that opportunity. But those three in particular, Nathan, are the guys you would expect too, I guess.
Yeah, well, the first two goals were carbon copies. Haliburta from Schmidt and Lynn against Moose Jaw. That was the exact same, you know, this person to that person to that person. And it is exactly who you'd expect. Schmidt, 40 goals last season. Haliburta, 29, and Holster passed 30. And, of course, Lynn is going to be given an assist as well. I should note, I hope he gets credited for it. He should.
On the empty netter.
Yes,
he blocked a shot. Thank you, buddy. Kismet.
Exactly.
Yeah, at that point, I thought, I hope the league will add one there, because that was a huge block, for one thing, in what was a 4-3 hockey game with an empty net, Giants up. That could have gone in, who knows. And then it goes down the other way, and Tomic, I guess, made a very nice play, frankly, on the empty net goal.
And that would give Lynn 10 points already, and he's a defenseman. And yes, that leads the Western Hockey League amongst all defense. So pretty impressive.
You were the best. You are impressive, my brother. Thanks for taking time as your cell phone battery dies out and making a meal out of this performance tonight, I must say, my friend. You dug in.
Continue.
You chowed down in the segment. Nice.
You never miss a chance. Love it.
Love it. Thanks, pal. See you. I'll talk to you next week, but I hope to see you soon, obviously, but talk to you next week.
Yes, sounds good. Thanks so much.
Sir Nathan of Canter, doing the damage on the prairies, the prairie run for the Vancouver Giants. Started last year, early last year, too. Vancouver started out with a couple of home games and a whole bunch of road games. They got rid of their Western Hockey League road trip early last year. And I can't recall, was it a 7-game trip, a 5-game trip? But they went 2 or 3. I think it might have been a 7-game trip. They went like 3 and 4 on it, whatever it was. But they were just shy of 500. But surviving the trip and coming together as a team and all that really laid the base for the rest of the year for the Giants. So you obviously hope that trend can continue. Tomorrow night, they're in Saskatoon. Wednesday at Prince Albert. Friday at Brandon. Saturday at Regina. That's a busy week. 4 games in 5 nights to end the 7-game road trip. It is a big ask. The next home game for the Giants is Friday, October 17th, when Wenatchee hits the Langley Event Center. It's also Oktoberfest night. That means they'll be serving beer, probably. Anyway, October 17th, Wenatchee is in town to take on your Vancouver Giants, the next home game. By the way, after the Friday night game on the 17th, Giants back on the road on the 18th in Penticton. That'll end a streak of 8 of 9 road games. Then they have 5 of 6 at home. But this week, there's 4 games coming up in 5 nights, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, before the bus ride home from Regina. It is a busy week for the Vancouver Giants. For sure. Scoring leaders for the Giants, Nathan and I touched bits and pieces on this. And Cameron Schmidt, in the 4 games he's played, he missed one when he was with the Dallas Stars. He's got 2 goals and 7 assists for 9 points. Ryan Lynn, at the moment, has 2 goals and 7 assists for 9, waiting to see if the Dub adds an assist on the back end of that empty netter the other night in Moose Jaw. And also Ty Haliburta, those are the top three. He's got 6 goals, 1 helper, 7 points. So for the moment, you've got Schmidt and Lynn with 9, Haliburta with 7, and the sophomore, Tyus Sparks, is sitting in there with 5 points, along with Adam Tittleback. Both have 2 goals and 3 assists. They lead the Giants in scoring. That's the top 5 anyway. I thank you so much for joining us tonight. Jack the Giant, I don't know if I officially said hello to you tonight. I guess I could say goodbye. Goodbye, Jack.
Oh, oh, oh.
Man, he doesn't look happy about that. He was on at the very front end of the show, though, but still. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate it all the time, buddy. And we appreciate you, the loyal listener, here on White Spot Vancouver Giants Hockey again. Giants tomorrow in Saskatoon. You can hear the game across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Thank you for being with us. I'm Brooke Ward. This has been White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650.
Ho, ho, ho.